thanksgiving for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is so alive. It is so powerful, and we are hungering and thirsting after your word. We thank you, Father, that we are going to be receivers of your word today. I thank you, Father, the word will just shake us up, turn us around, and get us going in the right direction. I thank you, Father, for just revelation, things that I have not normally seen. I thank you, Father, that through your word today, we will see and be changed. And everybody said, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay. Let me get, I got a couple of things going here today, if I can do this. Here we go. We are on part two of a series I'm calling All About Relationships. Relationships, all right? Relationships. Some of you have some good ones. Some of you have some not so good ones. So it might be good to learn a little bit about relationships. Last week we talked about dealing with difficult people. No, I don't have it. I'm not that. Yeah, okay, so it's a good one. If you didn't get that one, the envelope's right in front of you. You write your name and you write down, I want dealing with difficult people. It's free. Stick it in those glass jars in the back and you can pick it up the next week in the back. So last week was really good, dealing with difficult people. Praise the Lord. I hope you all did your homework and practiced doing it better. Amen. Today we're going to talk about, though, communications. Communications. And the title of my message, what is it right up here? What's it say? Read it. Can you hear me now? Ready? Do it again. Can you hear me now? All right. Verizon had a campaign of advertising several years ago, and it's about this guy, and he's talking on his telephone, and he says, can you hear me now? All right. And the reason why I picked that is because relationships are interesting. Whenever I use that word interesting, I'm trying not to say something bad. I was like, bleh. No, they're interesting. Relationships are interesting. And when you come into a relationship, you have to communicate. Can you hear me now? Right? You have to communicate. And it takes two to communicate. It takes two to communicate. And you really can't do it alone. If you're talking to yourself and answering yourself, we know where you should go. So it takes two to communicate. And you know, when we think of relationships, everybody's talking. When we think of relationships, everybody's talking. Think about your family. Everybody's talking. Think about your spouse. Everybody's talking. But it's really interesting. They may be talking, but not everybody really is communicating. A lot of talking, but maybe not communicating. So we're going to talk about communicating, and because I want to be a better communicator. I don't want someone to kick me under the table because I said so. Like, what? Okay, that means I need to be a better communicator. I want you to be a better communicator. Then I won't get the phone call. Pastor, someone said something, all right? So I want you to be a better communicator. I want to be a better communicator, so we're going to... we're going to go through a bunch of scriptures, and basically on your page, I have three questions, and we're going to answer these three questions. Question number one, how to be a better communicator. Number two, how to resolve conflicts. All right. And the last question we're going to get to is what to do when it seems hopeless. So you can write on this. I just really gave you titles and you can take notes. All right. So let's start off with something a little funny I read. A husband and wife were at a party chatting with some friends when the subject of marriage came up, and then marriage counseling came up. The wife said, oh, we've never needed any of that. We don't need any counseling. She explained, my husband was a communication major at college, and I was a theater major. He communicates really well. And I just act like I'm listening. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of people, they're communicating, and there's a bunch that are just acting like they're listening. And that's not a good way. So we're gonna go into this and learn. Number one, if you're writing notes, just write this down. Communication is a skill. Most of you aren't born knowing it, okay? It's something you learn. Communication's a skill. All righty, let's start off in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. So then, my beloved brethren, now, that means he's talking to Christians. Okay, now watch what he says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of, not your wife, it's in a gender, man, everybody. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when I read that scripture, when I look at that scripture, they've got the word wrath in there two times. And wrath in that setting means anger. It's really talking about anger. Oh, thank you. A little light here. Thank you. It means anger. So that tells me that when you communicate with people, one of the end results could be that you make somebody really angry. Could be through your communications, you get people really mad because of that scripture. Now, verse 20, it says, the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Now, if I look at that scripture, to me, it tells me there's got to be a better way of communicating. All right? And the better way of communicating is not to make people angry at you and mad at you because of the things you said. Wouldn't you think that's a better way? All right. I've not always done it better. I've had people upset with me. So I want to learn a better way of communicating. All righty. Now, verse 19 says, let every man, woman, child, kid, okay, let everyone really be swift to hear. Does yours say that? Be swift to hear. Now, swift to hear means that you are a good listener. That's all it means. You're a good listener or a ready listener, like you're ready to listen. So swift to hear says, I am a good, ready listener. Now, how many of you found out that communicating is not just talking? There's a listening side. So people that are communicating, there's a talking side and there's a listening side. There's got to be a listening side. So James says you ought to be a ready listener or a good listener. Everybody just make a confession of faith. I am a good listener. And your wife's going, Okay. Now, how many of you, let's be honest, that you like to speak right away? Oh, yeah, I didn't even say raise your hands. Whoa, okay. How many of you, someone's talking and you just jump right in, like cut in, knock them over and get in there, okay? How many of you know that's not a good thing? That's not a good thing. One hand, finally. It's not good to be a person who is not really a listener. That's not going to make great communications. So if you're wondering what's going on in your life, that's probably it, all right? So true communications has talking and listening going on. You got to have talking and listening. So question number one, how to be a better communicator? Okay, how can I be a better communicator? John Maxwell, I like reading stuff he says, okay? John Maxwell made this statement about communications. Communication without it, you travel alone. So that means if you don't communicate the right way, you're going to do life by yourself. If you don't communicate right ways, you're just going to be off by yourself, all right? So I want to know, how can I be a better communicator? And number one, it says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. So that means I have to be a better listener and not just a talker. I have to be a better listener and not just a talker. Now, there's this one gentleman I know. Hi, how you doing? He's just a talker. I could just leave the room. That man, he's not here today, by the way. So don't go, okay? There's no listening going on with him, except for maybe himself, all right? So, number one, I really want to be a better listener, not just a talker. Now, I have found out that it takes great effort to genuinely want to listen and not interrupt and not cut somebody off while they're talking. All right? Now, it's really easy to interrupt somebody when they're talking. Matter of fact, I just want to like shove them. It happened this past week. I was downstairs in the office with Sherry and Nevin, and Nevin asked me a question, and Sherry started to explain. And I just cut her off. I was like, I already heard that. I was absolutely rude. I really was. And now sometimes I'm politely rude. I do this a lot. I just realized you're talking and this is what I'll do. I'm like still the little kid. And the Lord corrected me. He says, you're interrupting when you do that. I'm like, well, I thought I was being polite, you know. No. So I'll raise my hand. And I usually, I'll raise my hand right in your face while you're talking. I have something to say. I have just really interrupted. All right. All right. The other part is you cut them off. Cut them off. And it's really like they're talking. Angie's talking to me. And my brain, I'm not listening. I am ready for the comeback. Anybody ever do that? I do. Okay. All right. I'm really not listening because I'm thinking what I'm going to say before they even finish. So that's not making a good communicator. I don't care if you raise your hand or not. I'm not making a case. Okay. So good communicators learn to listen when somebody's talking and they don't interrupt. Now, I found this study. You know, have fun. Google, find this thing for me. You know, it's so much fun. I found this study. It took place in the University of Maryland down the road by a guy by the name of James Lynch. He's actually one of the co-authors. And he is writing about communication and listening skills. And this is what he said. He actually documented this. He said, the healing of your heart, your cardiovascular system, takes place when you listen. Blood pressure rises when you talk, and it lowers when you listen. He also said, listening skills are not just essential for good leadership, but they are essential for good health. So when someone's yapping, say, you better just, you know, you need to get healed over here, you know, just start listening. All right. And it's, you know, when I looked at that, I thought it's very interesting that God made our bodies, that things are going on. God made this body, that things are going on in our bodies while we're talking. And one, it can make us better if we're a listener. It can make us healthier. It can make us a better communicator. So when we're listening, we become better. So how many of you want to get better at your communication? Then we've got to get better at our listening. Now, how many of you, okay, turn to Psalm 141. They'll put it up here. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep a watch over the doors of my lips. How many of you would have just loved to slap duct tape over somebody's mouth? Like, I'll set a guard over your mouth, right? There have been some people, I wish I could do that, all right? No, or how many of you have ever said, God, help me with my mouth. Put a guard over my mouth, all right? And then 2 seconds later, I go say something that I shouldn't have said. I'm like, darn. All right. Now, here's the deal. This is an Old Testament scripture, and I love David and the book of Psalms. It's just incredible. But in this day and age, it's about you putting a guard over your mouth. Okay. It's about you. You're the one that has to choose to think what's in your head that's going to come out of your mouth. So look at Proverbs 12. This is a good scripture that talks about that. Proverbs 12, 18. But the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So, of course, I've got my sword. How many of you have got some people that their words are reckless? And, man, they just they just say it and it just goes, ugh. All right. And you go, are you for real? That just hurt. All right. So when I think about that, I need to choose my words, not be reckless. Okay. But be wise, because then you get Band-Aids. All right. Now, Margie Stevens is a member of our congregation. She is a hospice chaplain, and she deals a lot with elderly. So, matter of fact, I called her up for the first funeral. She does a lot of funerals because she's a hospice chaplain, and she just coached me through all of this. And so she popped in the office Friday, and we were talking a little bit about my message. She's actually on call this weekend, so if she's not here, I know where she is. And I said, you know, it's very interesting. And she said, we both agreed, that as I look at people as they get older, like older, that a lot of times I see elderly people, it's like their monitor system is broke. Their filter of what comes out of their mouth is broke. And so we were talking. She says, oh, absolutely, because she deals a lot with the elderly. She goes, oh, absolutely. I said, good, I'm going to write that. Margie said, absolutely. And to me, what I see, and she agreed, she said she sees this, it's like the restraint button is broke. And they just say it. And I don't know if they're just thinking, well, I'm old, I can say whatever I want. I'm like, Proverbs 12 says the words of the reckless pierce like the sword. Even if you're 99, you ought not do that. So then the second thing we were talking about, and many times she's in nursing homes, and she'll deal with patients who have had strokes. And their monitor system is broke. They've had something broke in their brain, really. And they just say things. And she was that and working in a dementia unit. She said, oh, my Lord. She says, I just always know someone's just going to say something. Just you go, wow. But, you know, for the rest of us, this scripture applies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healings. So really what it's saying is we have to watch the words out of our mouth. Okay, we have to watch what we're saying to people, because sometimes your words hurt. And, you know, listen, I know sometimes I just say things, and I really didn't mean to. I just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I said that. All right, so we do have that. But really, we need to work on to be a better communicator, and that scripture says we have to watch our words and the things we're saying. Okay, question, how do I become better? Number one, be slow to speak. Number two, learn how to speak their language. Have you ever put a 20-year-old and a 75 or an 80-year-old in a room? They communicate, all right? They communicate, but many times that 20-year-old, that 80, and then you got that 80-year-old, they just don't quite get each other's language. They just don't quite get it. And this happened to me back in January. We had a guy working for us. He's off to college now, Dan. And I was asking him to update our YCF.com, our webpage. And I said, Dan, you know, the priority list, I'd like to put that on. And I told him that about 3 weeks earlier, and I came into his room. I go, Dan, where is it? You know, I asked you to do that. Now, I said it a little nicer, you know, Dan, where is it? I'd like to know where you did that. And he says, well, it's under the blog. I go, what's a blog? And he said, and Nevin was in the background. He says, oh, you sound like my mom. I go, what is a blog? He says, well, it's like writings. And this and that. I go, well, why didn't you just say that? And I realized I got a 20-year-old who's got a language I didn't get. So if you want to be a better communicator, turn off your cell phone. What? No, I'm kidding. If you want to be a better communicator, you need to learn people's language. You need to learn that, okay? Matter of fact, you need to learn how they speak and what they say. And I do know what a blog is now, okay? You need to learn to know how they speak and what they say. And it's really interesting, though, when people are first dating, it's not so bad. They really don't care, right, what somebody says or how they say it. But once you get married, all of a sudden you really care about how they said it and what they said. So if you want to be a better communicator, you need to learn how people speak. So turn over to 1 Peter 3:7. This is a good scripture for the guys. 1 Peter 3:7. Okay? We need, if you really are interested in being a good communicator, you need to learn how people, their language, here we go. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So this is what this is saying. Hey, husbands, you need to learn your wife's communications. You need to learn her language. All right? Because you don't, if not, they talk totally different. Amen, guys. You're supposed to go, amen. All right. Now, did anybody ever borrow this from me? Mark Gunger's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Okay. You can borrow it, but you can't do it until I sign you out. He has a, what do you call that thingamajigger? A pillar over here and a pillar over here. He's got a girl brain, like a mannequin head there. And then the other pillar, he's got a guy's brain on there. And he talks, and you just laugh your way through it, that guys are wired so different than the girls. All right? You ought to see this. You should borrow it. The other one is that I got a lot of my information is Marriage on the Rock. How many of you did the Marriage on Rock DVD series with us? Phenomenal. And he talks about the same thing. So here we have a scripture that says, in order to dwell together, you need to get understanding. Okay, so you've got men that are wired this way and ladies that are wired this way. And if you don't understand that, all hell's going to blow up all the time. You start communicating. All right? So you need to learn their language. You need to learn the language, and then you need to communicate well. Now, I've taken some of the information from that and doing going online. There was a study done that says the difference between men and women. Men believe communication should have a clear purpose. Shake your head. Behind every conversation to a man is a problem, and they want to get to the root of the problem, and they want to solve it as quickly as possible. And that's why they don't like to stick around for a long conversation. Okay? Now, women, we see conversations, communications totally different, all right? We use it. Now, at first, I didn't like this, but the more I sat and thought about the way and why I communicate, I agreed with this, okay? So I had to read it and go, okay, so here we go. We see communication as a way of discovering our feelings. We see a conversation as an act of sharing and to increase intimacy with our partner or whoever we're talking with, our best buddies, okay? And through sharing, communicating, guess what happens? We release our negative feelings, and then it just kind of solidifies the bond that we have. Now, can you tell men communicate one way and women communicate another way? And probably nobody told you how that guy you were going to marry was going to communicate. And probably nobody told you how that woman you married was going to communicate. But listen, God made man and woman on purpose. He purposely made them that way, even though I beg to differ some days. But he did not make a mistake when he made men communicate that way. And he did not make a mistake when he made women communicate that way. But I'm telling you what we need to learn how they speak. You need to learn how your partner speaks so that you can communicate better. So I love the scripture. Husbands, you need to have understanding so you can do life better. Now, John Maxwell says, everybody communicates, but few connect. Have you ever hung out with somebody? Okay, they're not here, so I'm not looking at you. And I hung out with them for a whole afternoon. And when I left, I thought, you know, they're really quite lovely, but we just didn't connect anywhere in the conversation, okay? And it wasn't because it was a guy I was talking to, it was a girl. I just was like, I could not connect with them. So it's really interesting. We need to connect. You can be talking, but we need to connect. And a study showed that the average Americans are bombarded with 35,000 messages a day. The average person, if you're on Instagram, Facebook, blogging, what else? Emails, you are being bombarded with messages all day long. But half the time we're not connecting. All right? So we're talking and we're not connecting. All righty. So how can I be a better communicator? Number three, I need to speak words of life. Some people, man, they're speaking, but man, they are just bashing you with their words. And so turn over to this scripture, Proverbs 15:4. This will be on the Message Bible, so it'll be up top. Proverbs 15:4. Kind words of life, heal and help, cutting words, wound and maim. Kind words that are life, are going to just do good. They're going to lift people up. They're going to heal them. They're going to get them in a good place. Now, how do I say this? I am sure everybody has had an opportunity where words just came out of your mouth, and then that person just looks at you like, oh, you know. So what it tells me is I was saying some things, but man, I let a word out there and it just pierced them. It just smushed them. All right. So I need to have kind words that heal them. And I bet you if we had more kind words, we had left people hurt. If we have more kind words that build people up, that edify them, we'd have less people that are walking around hurt and offended. So we need to work on that. Now, it's interesting. You have to train yourself. You have to train yourself, all right? And that means you have to think before you open your mouth. Is the word that's in my brain going to wound somebody if I let it out? Is the word that I'm thinking, if I let them out, is it going to hurt somebody? Is it going to wound them? And, you know, we're not talking about cuts where blood come out. We're talking about emotionally. All right, people are emotionally hurt. So first ask yourself, if I say that, is it going to hurt somebody? Because listen, God doesn't want us hurting people, especially your relationships. Especially your relationships. All right, so I think we've done our next one, how to resolve conflicts. So we've just said you can have conflicts, but I want to get them fixed up. I've gotten into a problem, an argument, a disagreement. I've gotten into a fight. Okay. How do I fix it? All right. Number one, what's it say? Resolve to do it as soon as possible. Now, somebody, you know, if you think you didn't have a conflict and you slept on the sofa last night, you're in denial. You had a conflict. If you slept on the sofa, you had a conflict. All right. So we do have conflicts. So how to resolve it? All righty. Number one, you need to resolve it as soon as possible. James 1:4 out of the New Century says, do you not know where your fights come from and your arguments come from? They come from selfish desires that war within you. So this is the word of God. And so it's telling me anytime I have a conflict, anytime I have an argument, anytime I have a fight with another person, it's because, this is what the Bible says, it starts with my selfishness. Ouch. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it starts from selfish desires that war within you. So all conflicts in a marriage, all conflicts with kids, all conflicts with coworkers, all conflicts with church people, all conflicts with whoever start with something selfish going on in you. That's what it says. All right. So how do you resolve it? Ephesians 4:6. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay. What does that mean? The sun comes up in the morning and then the sun goes down. That's called one day, right? Sun comes up, sun comes down. So you've got one day to resolve it. That's what it says. How do you resolve a conflict? Do it as soon as possible. All right. Now, listen, I have done it the wrong way where I have hung on the edge of the bed and said, don't you dare touch me, because we did not resolve a conflict before we went to bed, before the whole day went by. All right. And then there are other days, other times where we would resolve a conflict and we'd go to bed and I slept peacefully. So which one's better? Resolve a conflict as soon as possible. All right. So we used to have, we had taken a course, the MMI, Marriage Institute International, and they had a rule. Okay, so you have a conflict, you have a blow up, you have a disagreement. He said, she said, what said, who said, okay. And you're just like this. All right. So they had this suggestion, and it became a rule in our house. You got 5 minutes to cool down. And sometimes I'd go slam the door and go in and cool down. Okay. I needed to cool down. After 5 minutes, we had to talk about it. Okay. Because going to bed, hanging on the edge of the bed is not a good thing. So quickly resolve your conflict. All right. Quickly resolve your conflict. Okay. Number two, how do you resolve conflict? Seek first to understand. Seek first to understand. That's Proverbs 18:13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. So you've got to listen when someone's talking. So we've had this conflict, and I want to talk. And that means that someone needs to be listening. That person needs to be listening, all right? So listen. Now, it says you're foolish if you're not a listener. You're a fool if you're not listening when you've had a conflict and someone's talking. You know, I want to tell you how I felt and what this was like. Okay? So don't be foolish. All right? Don't cut the person off either. All righty? So you need to seek to understand the other person. And you know what? You need to seek to understand the other person. And that starts with listening. It starts with listening. It doesn't start with you interrupting or cutting him off. You've got to listen. All righty. Number three, how do you resolve a conflict? Guard your tongue. Man, that's that duct tape thing. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. We're working on it, Lord. Be sympathetic. We're trying, Lord. Love one another. We're working on it, Lord. Be compassionate. Be humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with and blessings. Okay, okay, good. That's all good ones. Because to do this, you were called to inherit a blessing. So listen, this basically is saying you need to guard the words that come out of your mouth. And if something came out, then you're not supposed to top it and throw a zinger. And then they said something and you get to throw a zinger. And they, you know, evil for evil. No zingers. So what if they said something? Just stop your mouth. All right, stop your mouth. And I'm telling you guys, this is a learned skill. You've got to practice this. And you know, I have found since I've been walking with the Lord almost 40 years, right before I'm ready to, the Holy Spirit says, you better shut up. Don't say that. All right. And sometimes I obey and other times I don't. But when I obey, it's much better. All right. So I'm getting better at listening and not saying all this stuff. So guard the words that come out of your mouth. My fourth kid is Cassie, and she would just talk as a little kid. And she would say things, and I'm like, are you for real? So we would say this over and over to Cassie. Not every word that's in your brain needs to come out of your mouth. I know, Mom. And we would say, she would blow it. So we would say all the time, not every thought that's in your brain needs to come out of your mouth. Not every word that you're thinking of needs to come out of your mouth. Not everything you're thinking needs to come out of your mouth, okay? And I'm telling you, if you live that life principle, you will have better relationships and not so many hurt ones. You have to think before you talk. Say amen. All right, how do you resolve a conflict? Fight the real enemy. Look at your spouse and say, you are not the enemy. They are not the enemy. Okay, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, spouses, kids, in-laws, outlaws, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So your fight, your conflict, your arguments really are not your spouse. It's an enemy, okay? And listen, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is out to destroy all your relationships. He's out to destroy you, and he is out to destroy relationships, husbands and wives, kids, all right? He's just really good at that. So you've got to be smarter than him. And when you get into an altercation, a disagreement, a fight, you just need to step back and say, wait a minute, this really is not the person who I married or my best friend or this coworker. Somebody's behind that. That's the enemy, okay? All right, so we wrestle not against people. And you know what? Probably one of the easiest ways to get out of a conflict is to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I blew it. I shouldn't have said that. I really didn't mean that. All right. So when you get into a conflict, be quick to say, I'm sorry. All right. Work on your communication. Okay. Last question. What's it say there? What to do when it seems hopeless? I was on the phone last night with a young woman, and she's in a relationship, and it looks bad. It really looks bad. It looks like it's on a road for a divorce. And I asked her, I said, did you want the divorce? And she said, no. I said, well, good. Nothing's hopeless, but it's going to take some changing. Okay, some changing. So what do you do when you're in a relationship that looks hopeless? What do you do when your communications look hopeless with your friend or your spouse? All right. I know this is obviously the obvious one. You need to call on God. And you just call on him, because nobody else is going to fix it better than the Lord. So you call on the God. Call on the name of the Lord. God, I need your help with my marriage. God, I need your help. I do not get my spouse. God, I need my help with my in-laws. God, I just need help with my mouth. So first, call on the name of the Lord. All right? What's number two? Confess your part in the conflict. Confess your part in the conflict. That simply means, what was my part? Moi? Yeah. What was your part in the conflict? What did you do in the argument? What was your part in something you said? All right. Now, I'm learning to be real quick at saying I'm sorry. Okay? I'm learning. Because I just like, well, it's your fault. No, no, no. I had a part to play. I always say there's two sides to the mountain to get over that thing. And I usually find out I was on one side, they were on the other side. So I have to ask, what was my part? All right. What was my part? Scripture, Matthew 7, 3 through 5. What was my part? Where did I mess up? All right. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. Okay, object lesson. So you're walking around because your friend over here has a little speck, and you just want to correct them. But the thing is, you've got the bigger thing in your eye. Yeah, you got this thing sticking out of your eye. And the scripture's saying, would you take this thing out first of yourself? You know, put the flashlight on yourself first before you go around correcting everybody. Now, we love to correct everybody, right? I do. Okay. Okay, I'm getting better at it. So I'd be at the mall, and I'm going, oh, did you see that girl walk by? I can't believe she wore those shoes. That really doesn't go with the outfit. And the Lord says, what are you doing with specs, girl? And, you know, so I was actually judgmental, critical of people. Yeah. And I'm working at not being like that. And then the Lord says, you got some things going on here. You've got some things going on here. All right. So we see everybody's speck, but boy, oh boy, it's easy to find their faults. But God's saying, I want you to look at yourself, especially if you're in a conflict. Go put the mirror in front of yourself and say, what did I do? Now, most of the time, you can't say nothing. I just walked in the house, Lord. All right, well, maybe, but, you know, what part did I play? All right, number three, what do you do when it seems hopeless? Have a peace conference. Have a peace conference. Matthew 5:23 says, so if you're about to place your gift on the altar, remember, and you remember, and you remember someone is angry with you, leave your gift in front of the altar, make peace. Have a peace conference, make peace with that person, then come back to offer your gifts to the Lord. Now, this scripture was written in Jesus's day, and it was a big to-do when they came into the temple and they brought their gifts. It was sort of like this really showy thing. So when they brought their gifts into the temple. Now today, this is what it's talking about. If you were to come into church and we're receiving tithes and offerings and you give your tithes, your offerings, or your giving online, this is what it's talking about. So before you do that, before you give your gifts, before you give online, he's saying, if you know somebody's angry with you, if you know somebody's mad with you, you need to get it straightened out. So let me tell you, be honest. So Jack and I, at Sunday morning, we'd be driving to church and we'd have all hell in the car. The pastor and the pastor's wife and four kids. We'd be fighting and he would jam the brakes on. Says, that's it. We're not going to church. And I'm like, everybody's going to know we were fighting because we have to be at church. You're the pastor. And he was doggone stubborn about that. He'd just stop. Why are you stopping? Because we have to straighten this thing out. Straighten what out? Because I don't like to be made to do things. I'm really rebellious and I'm working at it, okay? So it's really honest, okay? So this scripture says, when you know, and he really took it literally, when you know somebody's angry or mad, it is better to get that straightened out than to give your gift. It is better to get that mess straightened out. Now, most people think it's better for the gift. Oh, no, no. The scripture says it's better for get that situation straightened out. Amen? Okay. So have a peace conference in the middle of the road. That's it. We're not going to church. That's it. Okay. Number four. What do you do when it seems hopeless? Consider their perspective. Philippians 2:4 from the Good News translations. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. Let me read that again. And look out for one another's interests and not your own. So that means you need to consider the other person. You need to consider their side of the story. All right? Now, I used to think, I just know it all. My side's the right side. Okay, no. You need to sit down and have ears that listen and just listen to that person and hear their story. Consider their perspective. And you just might find out theirs is better than your perspective. Okay. So, last one. What do you do when it seems hopeless? I don't want to trip over that. What do you do when it seems hopeless? Concentrate on reconciliation. Okay, that's a Bible word. Jesus reconciled us back to God. The Bible says that because of our life, our sin, we were separated from God. You could not go into the presence of God. But Jesus, and God did all that he could, he sent his son to buy us back, to reconcile us back to God. So if you want to resolve to work on a conflict that you think is absolutely hopeless, you have to start doing some reconciling. You have to start doing some reconciling, okay? I'm not reconciling with them. Are you kidding me? Do you know what they did? Did you know what they said? Well, I happen to know what you did, that Jesus died on a cross for, and that he forgave you of all your goof-ups. As a matter of fact, he forgave you. And he also forgave that person that you've got this conflict going. So, really, you have to stop. What can I do to reconcile? All right? And let me read this scripture to you, James 3:17. But the wisdom from God, the wisdom that comes from heaven, is first of all pure, full of gentleness. Then it's peace-loving, courteous, and it allows discussion. Reconciliation takes some discussion, okay? Now, you don't like to sit and listen to someone talk and talk and talk. Well, you're not walking in love. You're going to have a discussion. And the second part's even better, okay? It says it allows discussion and is willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It's wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. So, Wisdom is, allows discussion and it yields. And you know, someone says, well, you know, yield. You mean that means that just give up, give in? No, no, no. Every time you yield to somebody, a yield in godliness, I'm saying, you actually show the love of God and the strength of God. Because it takes great strength that God will give you to lay down your life and yield to that person instead of, you know, being hardcore, all right? We're going to do it my way, or that's it, all right? So we need to yield, okay? Praise God. So your homework. How can I be a better communicator with somebody that I'm having, that I'm in a relationship with? How can I be a better communicator with people I have a relationship with? Especially if your relationship's going south. How can I be a better communicator? How can I just yield to them? How can I work out peace? How can I just be listening? All right? How can I be a better communicator? And listen, if you're not a better communicator, you're not connecting with people. And God has placed you on this earth to be his ambassador, to be his spokesperson, to be his light, to be all that he is on the earth. And if you can't communicate well, you're not helping the kingdom of God. Somebody says, well, I want Jesus to come back quick. Me too. Amen. Before April 15th, I don't have to pay taxes again, all right? But you have to be a big communicator. And the more you communicate well with people, the more people are going to get to know the Lord Jesus. All right. So for that reason. Also, what God says, if you do this, there'll be blessings in your life. Living in a relationship where there is conflict and arguing. I mean, you walk in the door and you say hi and they go, wah, 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 and you're like, well, that is not good. It's not enjoyable. It's not the life God meant for you to live. So we need to work at being better communicators. Amen? So homework. Let's see. Homework. How can you bring peace into relationship in your lives? What can you do? How can you start being better? How can you break down the walls? All right? This is between you and God. And actually, as I prepared for this message, the Lord was pointing out some things in my life. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's right, God. That's good. That's good. All right, let's just close your eyes. Praise God. Relationships are incredible, especially when you communicate well. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will bring these words back to us throughout the week, Father, on how to do life better with the people you place in our lives, how to be a better communicator, how to be one that just loves and forgives and listens, doesn't interrupt. I thank you that you'll do that. And let me ask this, probably the best question is, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship that's good with God, what do you mean, Pastor D, good with God? Well, you don't have a good relationship with God until you receive Jesus. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I mean, 100%. Some people kind of play, well, I'll give you 70%. No, no, no. The Lord wants 100% of your life. If you've if you're here and you say, Pastor D, I've never given my life to the Lord 100%. And today I want that relationship. I want a relationship that's better. I want the blessings in my life. Matter of fact, I just want peace in my life. And I would like Jesus Christ to be my Savior and Lord. If that's you and you say, Pastor D, I'm tired of my life. And I want this Jesus that you've been talking about, this Father God in my life. If you raise your hand, I'll pray for you right now on the spot. You don't have to go home and not have a relationship with the one who loves you more than you could ever know. So is there anybody here? Just pop your hand up and I'll pray for you. Okay? Anybody? Say, today, Lord, I'd like to just be your child. All right, my second thing I'm going to ask you, if you've already done that, you've already received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but you have just taken a turn and you just have just put God on a shelf. Today's a good day to come back. And if you'd say, you know, listen, you can come back any moment. You can come back like that to the Lord. But if you'd say, Pastor D, would you pray with me? I've been just playing around with God. I've just been, matter of fact, I've totally ignored him. I know he's spoken to me. I know that I need to do life better with him and not by myself. If that's you and you'd like me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. And you can just have this whole thing all washed up, cleaned up, and have a nice new package today. And you get forgiveness for just pushing him aside. Is there anybody here that'd say, Pastor D, that's me. I've just kind of left God far, far away. And I want to come back and I want to be and I want to do and I want to live this wonderful life. Is there anybody here that'd say, that's me? Okay. Well, folks, stand up. Praise the Lord. Good communication. Hallelujah.